peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. From the Gospel just read, from the 18th chapter of St. Matthew, the 32nd and the 33rd verses. Then his master summoned him and said to him, "You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. And should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you?" There is something wonderfully basic in the passages of Holy Scripture read in church on this Lord's Day. Consider the short reading from the book of the prophet Micah, who lived in troubled times. "He has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God?" And then St. Paul, in his letter from prison in Rome to the church in Philippi, proclaims his certainty that the Lord who has begun the good work in them will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ, that last day of his appearing in glory with all the holy angels. And then finally, we have the Holy Gospel, which is a great lesson in forgiveness. While explaining the creed in his large catechism, Dr. Luther has this to say: toward forgiveness is directed everything that is to be preached concerning the sacraments, and in short, the entire gospel and all the duties of Christianity. Forgiveness is needed constantly, for although God's grace has been won by Christ and holiness has been wrought by the Holy Spirit through God's word in the unity of the Christian church, yet because we are encumbered with our fallen nature, we are never without sin. Yes, toward forgiveness is directed everything that is to be preached. And the gospel for this Lord's Day is all about forgiveness. Peter asked Jesus, "How often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times?" Jesus replies, "I do not say unto you seven times, but 70 times seven." Seven in the scriptures is a number that stands for perfection. 70 times seven, therefore, means perfectly and without limit. And to illustrate this point, Jesus tells the parable of how after a king had forgiven a servant who owed him 10,000 talents, that's about $5 million, that same servant then refused to forgive a fellow servant who owed him 100 denarii, and that's about $10. $10 compared to $5 million. The first servant had been forgiven an enormous debt that he could never hope to pay. But then he refuses to forgive a fellow servant who owed him only a paltry sum. In telling this parable, our Lord wants us to see him and also to see ourselves. God is our maker, and we therefore owe him love, we owe him obedience, which we repeatedly refuse to give him, and yet he still forgives. We refuse to extend forgiveness to fellow sinners. The forgiveness of God is daily extended to us who don't deserve it, and we are called to extend mercy to others. If we refuse to do that, we simply aren't growing in likeness to Christ, who is the express image, the very likeness of the Father, who is the great forgiver. As we sang in that wonderfully simple opening hymn, Father-like, he tends and spares us. Well, our feeble frame he knows. Now, all of us know that at times in life, we come up against situations where we find it all but impossible to forgive. So what are we then to do? We need to remember where we stand. Where we stand. And where do we stand? Every one of us, without exception, stands before the judgment seat of God in need of his mercy. We find ourselves under judgment. But we also find ourselves under mercy. In the parable Jesus told, the king, out of sheer pity, forgives the enormously indebted servant his debt. And this is what God has done for us, out of sheer pity, at tremendous cost to himself, the agonizing death of his own dear son on the wood of the cross. As Dr. Luther sings, in one of his wonderful hymns, a father's heart he turned to me, sought my redemption fervently, he gave his dearest treasure. So where do we stand? We stand under judgment and also under mercy. Before the judgment seat of God, we are all alike sinners in need of mercy. Before the cross of Jesus, we are all alike forgiven sinners. And if we refuse forgiveness to fellow sinners, who are no less weak and frail than we ourselves are, how can we expect to be forgiven by God? So how do you forgive, especially when you feel like you'll never be able to forgive the one who has done you harm? Remember where you are, under the judgment of God, a poor sinner in need of mercy, and under the cross of Christ, a sinner who has received mercy. And remembering that, then pray. Pray for the person you find so hard to forgive. We have to remember that none of us can see into the heart of another human being. The truth is, we don't even fully understand ourselves, let alone someone else. Yes, we can know someone very well, but there still remains much that is hidden. So pray for those who have harmed you, that God would bless them according to their need. Remember who you are, a sinner, yes, but most of all, a forgiven sinner. And that is why the holy sacrament of the altar is so important in our life as Christians. For when we come to the altar, we can escape neither the fact of our sin nor the wonder of God's mercy. How much God has forgiven us, and at what a price. The sacrifice of the holy body and the precious blood of his own dear Son. Now, as we approach the end of this church year, with Advent just around the corner, we become more and more conscious of the fact that we shall one day stand before the judgment seat of Christ. On that day, it really won't matter that this man insulted me or that woman slighted me, nor that this person wasn't grateful for a thing I did, nor that another person misunderstands me and distorts everything I have to say. On that last and great day, none of that will matter. All that will matter then is, as the prophet Isaiah writes, though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow, and though they are red like crimson, they shall become like wool. All that will matter then will be mercy. Mercy will open the door to the life and joy eternal. And even now, it is in fact mercy that opens the door to life and joy for ourselves and for others. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. Amen.